maybe almost as important, is you have to be unable to qualify for traditional financing, which means that we are an alternative or backup source of funding for a septic system to those people who cannot go to a bank or credit union to get a loan. Other stuff that we have for requirements include an income requirement. It's actually pretty high. So folks who don't qualify for the other two programs typically come to us because we'll lend to folks with 200% median household income, which means when you add everyone's income in the house together, it has to total or come below, right now it's $115,000 a year, which is pretty much most of Vermont. That's a good 80% of Vermonters will meet that income requirement. And that's my program in a nutshell. It's worth mentioning, even though USDA is not here, they're the only program that I'm aware of that has grants. The limitation, though, with USDA is that the grants, as I understand it, are only available for folks who are elderly, 65 and older, and for extremely low-income folks. I don't know the exact threshold, but I think it's household income in the $20,000 range. So it's rather restrictive to qualify for a grant. That's it, my program in a nutshell. Any questions about financing? If folks are interested in more, I have flyers that are back on the DEC table over there. Or they, you can just come talk to me. I'm happy to answer specific questions. Thanks.
So thanks, Chris, and thanks for mentioning the USDA program, because we were unable to get them here today due to the government shutdown and their inability to catch up on their work. But because of that, we would like to, if you are interested, let us know and we will connect you with the right person if that's the program that you're interested in. Up next, we have Tom Brown from Thomas Brown.
Thomas makes me in trouble.
Okay, Thomas is not in trouble, it's Tom Brown. Also from the Facilities Engineering Division, to talk about a loan program for a different cluster of folks.
Yes.
And I'll put up your PowerPoint.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Hey everyone, thanks for having me.
Our program, if Gianni had asked me to talk this time last year, I probably would have said no, because we couldn't lend to privates. And I'm gonna tailor our project, our program presentation to the private entities. The CWSRF's been around for 30 years and has always been able to loan to municipalities. we get a TAP grant every year from the federal government, which means we have federal requirements on our money, and if anybody knows anything about that, that could be a considerable amount of work to use our program. We have a 20% state match, and then we also use revolving funds, the loans for the last 30 years at a 2% interest rate are flowing back into the program now. So when you add that up with our grants from the government, we are really looking at a very sizable fund. The SRF, we can lend money at any time for planning, for people that are entities that are looking for solutions and designing solutions. And then when it comes to construction, we have a priority list that has to be put together every year for any construction projects. Generally, they're the higher dollar amount. Just as an overview, I mentioned we have been in, the program has been around for 30 plus years. Originally, it was a straight grant program, and then it became a loan program. What made it possible for me to come and talk to you guys today is Act 185 passed last year. And that allowed our program to lend to private entities for the first time. It's been a year, we haven't made a single loan yet to a private entity. We're about to. but we've been building the program. So it's starting to come together. So the other thing it did is it expanded our eligibilities on what we could use our money for. So you can see there's a whole list of stuff, dam removal, brownfield and agricultural BMPs, basically anything that has water quality benefit. That's what we're looking for. We can lend to private for-profit and private non-profit. And we also established a water infrastructure sponsorship program, WISPR it's called, and that's substantial. So I'm not gonna get into that. That'll take an hour on its own. What we do not fund, single homeowner projects and privately owned treatment works. And there are no restrictions on our fund for income or second homes. There's no limit to the amount that can be borrowed, and it doesn't matter if your system's failed or failing or just old. The types of projects, traditionally we were just wastewater collection and stormwater and wastewater treatment plant refurbishments and things like that. This kind of shows that basically we want a water quality benefit on a project and a privately owned treatment works. I think that deserves a little bit of attention here. You've seen a lot of treatment in a lot of these soil-based systems. That's a different type of treatment. When we say a treatment works, we're talking about a direct discharge plant, which would mean a non-pollutant discharge elimination service permit. But if you're private and you need a permit from our department to discharge directly, we won't be able to fund it. Expanded eligibilities to the privates. So as I mentioned, we build a priority list every year. Right now we've got $93 million showing. And in order to lend to privates, we have to bypass all the municipal projects that have asked to be on our list. And then once they're done, we can start lending to the private entities. And we can't use more than 20% of our available funds on private lending. There is also a requirement that the municipality of the private project provide a letter of support, and also there's a pre-screening fee. The benefits and details of our loans, so our program works on reimbursement base, so there will need to be, in most cases, there's a interim financing piece that, or construction financing that is needed by the borrower, unless they have a good cash flow. Our planning loans are 0% interest for 5 years, whether you're private, municipal, or private for-profit. The reason that there is that amount of time is that we want to be able to allow time for the project to develop. Also with final design, when we say planning, it's actually final preliminary engineering and final design are considered planning loans, and then there's construction is the second piece. The big benefits, we have a delayed repayment, so you won't have to start paying the day you sign your loan. You start to pay when the project is complete. Within 1 year, there'll be a project completion certificate, and that's when the loan will be closed and go into repayment. The other part is we have a lot of technical oversight of what's being built, so we can assure that what we're paying for is going to be an ongoing concern. So our interest rates, these are actually, we're going to be working with the legislature to change them. Right now it says there's a 2% administrative fee and a 2% interest rate. We're going to make it a 4% administrative fee, 0% interest rate. It's more of a formality. But that's how the law reads right now. And our interest rates don't change. They're written into the statute. And if we want to change them, it's a big deal. Okay. Municipalities, of course, have a 2% administrative fee. And they actually are eligible for subsidies in the form of loan forgiveness, not a grant. There. Every project has three steps. Step one, two, and three. Preliminary engineering, final design, and the construction. There's a lot of different pieces to this, but that's just kind of a general overview of how we proceed with a project. We issue the loan, and then we amend it for the step two, and then we amend it for the step three. So it's one loan number that's just growing in eligibility. Our key program documents are, in order to use our funding, you have to secure an engineer using qualifications-based selection. That is a federal requirement for for our fund. And what that really means is you need to hire an engineer through a public process. You want to advertise, and you want to get statements of qualifications from multiple engineering firms or engineers. And there cannot be any discussion of money. The cost is a second step after you organize your evaluation criteria. You will rank your respondents, and then you start to negotiate money after that. So then we have a funding application. Of course, we have a smart form. It's one form. You just check the boxes for what you're looking for, and the form changes to ask questions that we need in order to serve your loan. The other thing is there is a priority list application needs to be completed if you're looking for construction funding. And then there's also a requirement to follow our environmental process at the state level. And once you get the environmental part done, you will actually have a preliminary engineering report that'll be completed simultaneously, and that will provide a facility plan, which is our first deliverable towards construction. The second deliverable is your final design that will get completed based on your preliminary engineering report facility plan. And then the final design process will also give you your bid materials that you need in order to go off to construction, your drawings, and whatnot. There's a lot of questions, I'm sure. Feel free to give me a call anytime. I think in closing, I would just say, if you're a really small group, there's three or four homes, we may not be the best bet for you because we do require that full process. But if you look at, I bet you Long Point probably would, if they were in the same situation they were years ago, they would be looking at us right now because submarket interest rates, and also they have an economy of scale with a big enough project that using this kind of funding makes sense. Any questions? Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
And to close out the day, we have Alyssa from the Champlain Housing Trust. So please welcome Alyssa.
I'm with Champlain Housing Trust. So we have a loan program that can assist folks for their home repairs, which also includes septic. This is our loan fund team. It's myself, our manager, and then our loan fund assistant, Melissa. And as if it's not confusing enough, Melissa, when you call us, you'll get somebody. So basically, the qualifications for our program, you have to be a single family homeowner. But you can be in a condo or a mobile home, and you have to live in the home as your primary residence. So your home must be located in Chittenden, Franklin, or Grand Isle, We don't serve Burlington, unfortunately. Burlington is served by CETO. And then loans are secured by a mortgage on your home, so you have to make sure that there's enough equity to secure the loan. And people know what I mean when I say equity and secure. And then, so we also do take account into your credit history, but if you do have things that are adverse on your credit report, you're still welcome to apply with us. Just let us know in a letter of explanation, and we're able to ask our committee for an exception. So we're still able to help if you can't get traditional financing through that avenue. So your gross household income has to be 80% or less. So this is our income guidelines, and HUD literally emailed the updated income guidelines to our office today. So the updated numbers are in the back. These are a little bit older as of 3 hours ago, but they're pretty similar. So if you feel like you're going to be close to the income, you're more than welcome to apply, and I can check that for you. I can't formally deny anybody over the phone, so feel free to submit an application. And then if you have grants available, this is a new aspect of our loan program. We just rolled it out this spring. So the first $2,500 of your project can be granted. So that's money you don't have to repay back, and it's free. So for our loan information, the maximum that we can loan anybody is $22,500. So back to the equity. So this is secured by a mortgage on your home. If you already have a first mortgage, it's in second position or in third position, depending on if you have any other mortgages on your home. So the simple interest rates are between 1 and 3, but for APR, it's 1.5 to 4.5. And we can also offer flexible terms. So we have deferred loans, and a deferred loan is secured on the property. It gets paid back when you sell, transfer the title, or refinance your first mortgage, and there's no monthly payments. So if you have a low enough income, we are able to offer deferment. Or we have amortizing, which does have a monthly payment, and we're able to go up to 20 years. The interest rates are dependent on your income, so the lower your income, the lower your interest rate is going to be. Some of the advantages, we have really low closing costs. I've never seen closing costs over $300. And that's always rolled directly into the loan, so you don't have to pay that out of pocket. And then we do offer bid guidance, contract documents. So when you have a contractor, you'll sign a contract that has a lot of protections for the borrower. And then we do have contractors in our database that other customers have used in the past. And we do manage the payments to the contractors. So we operate sort of like an escrow account where you authorize us to release funds on your behalf. Disadvantages, we do get federal funds, which means that it does take a bit of time for our process. And then some of the costs that we've seen from a report I pulled, septic systems are usually between $10,000 and $25,000. And it depends on what system you have and what sort of disrepair it's in. We can cover some of the following items: permits, site design, excavation, installation, and a few other things that are associated directly with the project. So this is our program overview, pretty much. So you apply to our program, we'll see what you can qualify for maximum, and then we'll have somebody come out and do a site visit with you. It's going to be our loan fund assistant and our construction consultant, Dan. They'll go out and see if you have any health or safety items that need addressing with your home. But for the most part, we get a lot of people who already have their septic design, and they're looking for us to help them finish the project. So the only thing I'll say, we can't finance work that has already been done. You have to have a contract with a contractor and have started our process. So for our program, you don't have to be denied from any other programs or anything. You are welcome to apply. Your system doesn't have to be failed. If it's getting older or if it's just not working, then we can certainly help. So basically, if you're getting a loan combined with a grant, we just have to make sure the loan gets closed, and then we disperse the funds directly to the contractor. And then the kind of the total processing time is between 4 and 6 weeks for the loan. But for people, they have a little bit different of a timeline depending on their septic design and where they are in the process. People can get our documents back quickly, then we're able to do it pretty fast. But usually septic designs and installations can spend a few months. And yeah, that's our program. So our offices are located downtown. Melissa Abbott is our fund assistant. She handles general inquiries. I've included applications and then updated income guidelines about our program in the back over there. But does anybody have any questions? Yeah.
Why the limitation to the three counties you mentioned?
So for different counties, there are different homeownership centers. So our homeownership center is just there, Chipping, Franklin, and Grand Isle. Addison County has a homeownership center, and then Windham and Windsor. So Vermont has a lot of homeownership centers, and each homeownership center does have a similar program to us in the counties that they serve. So if you're from outside the counties that we serve, then I definitely encourage you to go online and check which homeownership center serves your county. And to my knowledge, they're all pretty similar, but they may have, you know, a little bit different requirements, so you can check with them. Anybody else? Sweet.
Great.
So can we just give one more round of applause to all of our speakers today? And thank you to all of you for attending today. Thank you to all the speakers. Thank you to our sponsors, like Champlain Basin Program and the New England Grassroots Environment Fund. If this was of interest to you and you want to know what else the Conservation District is hosting, please check out our website or our newsletter. We do have, as Amy was mentioning, a bioengineering training actually coming up June 12th, so you can find that on our calendar events page if you want to sign up for that. If you're headed out the door and need to go, please just fill out your post-event survey. You can leave it on the table. We're going to do the raffle in about 10 minutes, so if you want to stay for that, please fill out your survey and hand it to one of us, and we will give you back a raffle ticket. Do not run away until you get back your raffle ticket, so when you pull, you know if you've won. We will start talking again at 2:45.